Global fast food giant McDonald's has just sold its China franchise to state-owned CITIC Group and U.S.-based private equity firm. Is it Carlyle Group?
I would say Carlyle Group, yeah.
Carlyle.
I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, let's get the Americanism correct.
Y'all.
Yes, and one American guy will be happy about that on the show. Yeah, Ryan. So how will this transaction affect McDonald's business in China? I think we'll need to do a little bit of crystal balling in today's show. But first of all, guys, tell me more about the transaction that has just happened, which is a big deal in the business world.
Yes, let's talk about the announcement itself. McDonald's announced that two companies under CITIC Group Corp. and U.S.-based private equity firm Carlyle Group had won the franchise bid to run its China operations for the next 20 years, and that happened on Monday. So this means the $2.08 billion deal will give CITIC and CITIC Capital a controlling stake of 52% in the new entity, with U.S. buyout firm Carlyle holding 28% and McDonald's still holding just a little bit of their shares at 20%. The buyout will be settled, I guess, with cash and new shares. McDonald's will maintain a foothold in the country through royalty payments. So let me explain, actually, kind of in case our listeners are wondering what exactly franchising is. Basically, franchising allows you to use the brand, products, and business methods of a very established company, you personally, or a corporation like CITIC, but they have to pay maybe like a certain amount of their earnings for the right to use that. So basically, that's what's happening. McDonald's will receive royalty payments from these two entities. So McDonald's plan to sell its franchise in its North Asian market, including the Chinese, China, also, I believe, in South Korea. There are 2,800 outlets in this region. Now it's still unknown that which company will get the franchise in South Korea, but it's up for grabs.
Yes, and some may argue that it might be because that they're not making money anymore, the Chinese market is not that huge anymore, but it's hardly the fact, because McDonald's, let's see the current situation. That is, McDonald's divided the global market into four parts, and eight countries, including China, are in the highly increasing market region, making almost a quarter of McDonald's total revenues in 2015. McDonald's planned to open 25 new outlets in China in 2016, nearly taking up a quarter of the total number of new outlets in the world, showing its ambition in Chinese market. And it has over 2,200 outlets and over 100,000 employees in China. And as people's income increases, they become willing to pay more for fast food during travel or at lunch hours. So we are not seeing the shrinking of the Chinese market for McDonald's. Instead, maybe there's still this huge potential for McDonald's to make money, but they are making some changes, and I think it's because they wanted to make full use of those potential, maybe do something about localization to make sure they're earning even more money.
Yeah, well, we heard a lot of earning money, and I guess for these huge...
More chicken nuggets. That's what it means for me.
Oh, and also Big Mac and double cheeseburger, which I would kill for something like that right now. Yes, and I can always remember that, I remember when I was in the U.S. and was driving... not when I was driving as a little girl, but my parents were driving. Yes. And once we drove to the middle of nowhere, and then suddenly we see in the dark, there's the Golden Arch.
Oh, yeah.
And then I felt I was at home.
The light at the end of the tunnel.
It feels a bit sad when the light at the end of the tunnel I see is
McDonald's.
Yeah, and there are other days in China when sometimes when I am starving to death at night and, this is terrible. And then I look at my food delivery app and I see a bunch of deliveries companies mm-hmm. on the app. Mm-hmm. But then I see the golden arches as well. And then I felt, yes, this is something I can depend on. And this is something that I know the taste. It's the same everywhere in the world. I like that taste. And I'm going to order it at 9. So, yes, too many stories from Heyang. But you see that I think with a company like McDonald's, it has a foothold in global markets, deeper or not as deep, depending on its operation in that region. But it's huge, and it is an old brand and needs some dusting up sometimes. And in China, I think the situation has been that ever since its first arrival into the Chinese market, which was in the 1980s, I believe, or the late 80s, and it has just been a winning streak for the company until now in 2017 or, 2016 last year. I think the Chinese market has grown to a point that it's not just low-hanging fruit anymore. The company needs to strategize a bit more mm-hmm. and maybe come up with more measures yeah. to make its operation more successful here. So what we see right here, that a Chinese company buying the majority of the shares of its Chinese operation could be part of that.
Yeah, I think it's important that we try to understand what the mindset here of McDonald's is, because in 2013, they actually saw the most popular growth they had. They were doing really well. And the thing is, franchising is really, it's pretty great, because I give you the reins. You understand the local market way better than I do. You know where to put things and the habits of the people in that local area. And as it has been described in articles about this move, McDonald's believes that the potential for their growth lies in China's third and fourth tier cities. So they want to expand to those areas. Now let's look at CITIC. CITIC has connections to a lot of real estate. They understand the comings and goings of these cities, the hot spots. They can keep out the competition because they have these very good connections. They also have connections with delivery systems. So I think this is a very smart move by them. But up until, I think it was, up until, let's say, 2013, it was not very common for McDonald's to do any franchising, really, or the standards were really hard to franchise here in China in the name of McDonald's. Why? Because it is way more lucrative to be the sole owner. Instead of just getting a royalty, I get all the money. But sometimes, and as we are seeing, these profits have really started to decline, maybe because McDonald's doesn't understand the market as well, or doesn't have the connections like such a big and big company like CITIC has.
Yes, and it's a state-owned enterprise. So I think in Chinese it's called 中信. So yes, for sure, when you've got such a strong local grown company being the majority holder of shares of a company, even if it's just the operation in one region, it is hugely useful. I understand all that. But the part that I find a little bit confusing, that also I would like to know why McDonald's has made this decision, is that, yes, it used to be the threshold of entering the game, of joining the franchise, was hard, was tough.
Mm-hmm.
But now what has changed? Okay, profit could be one thing, but does it also mean that the threshold has been lowered or something like that? I mean, that's going to be at the back of the minds of some investors and also maybe an average consumer.
Yeah, I can provide you with one theory. That is, it's very trendy to do so. That is to say, you can see that in 2014, the outlets that's been franchised, McDonald's outlets that has been franchised, is up to 35%. But it is still lower than the percentage in US, which is 90%, and in European countries, which is 82%. That is really high. Meaning that globally, it's doing this thing, but it's not starting in China up until pretty much the end of last year. And the move also came 2 months after its archenemy, Yum Brands, which is the company behind KFC and Pizza Hut, spun off its China business with an initial public offering to boost greater stability in earnings. So I think when everyone else is doing it, they must be seeing something out of it. Maybe it's easier to do localization. And with this new kind of boss, but let's say similar management group, they are hoping to achieve a little more.
Yeah, you know, I've talked about this fine young gentleman before on the show, but I have this Turkish friend named Tolga who loves to enlighten me about Turkish history. And he said, you know, the Ottoman Empire was very big at one point, and they were successful at doing things. In a way, they did this kind of franchising of their own. If they took a city-state or a place, they would elect someone from that place into the power of governing the people. The people were like, okay, this is great because this person is us, and this person knows how to govern the people the best way possible, because cultures, these kind of things clash many times. So here, business is in many ways and has been described as a battlefield. And I think McDonald's is taking a different approach in saying, I'm going to give the reins to a company that understands the real estate, that understands how O2 online to offline works and how big it is in China. And then also, you know, CITIC has a bank, so it's connected to banks, so it has a lot of resources too to kind of go into this restructuring of how McDonald's will be doing business.
Yes, for sure. And also, when we talk about business, then obviously it's about maximizing profits. And there was a bidding war of different buyers trying to compete for the to get the deal.
The shares, yeah,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so here we see that this is kind of a big move in the retail fast food market here in China. And also, I wonder if this is much to do with the much slower growth that McDonald's has been experiencing in China. And McDonald's, like I mentioned earlier, it's such an old brand, and Ryan,
and
you
it's
must
everywhere.
Yes, and Ryan, you must know this because you grow up in the U.S. and you know, McDonald's to me is part of American culture.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think it's like a Coca-Cola. It's becoming Coca-Cola is synonymous around the world as just being a cola, you know.
Yeah.
So McDonald's is everywhere now too. I think McDonald's is very different in America than it is here in China.
How is that?
Well, we were talking about the emerging middle class and the rising income, and how, you know, so I think here, you know, I've seen the prices of McDonald's here, and I wouldn't consider them often the cheapest meal someone could purchase. But in the U.S., there's a dollar menu. McDonald's is really cheap food. In fact, not cheap as in, well, probably cheap as in quality. but, I mean, it's just very affordable, okay?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of reason why people go there. I mean, during the Super Bowl, man, which is like American football, one of the biggest televised events in America. McDonald's marketed on that perfectly to me, because I love chicken nuggets. So they're like, hey, Ryan, guess what? We'll give you 50 chicken nuggets for $9.99. So $9.99. And I was like, then I thought, wait a minute. That's a lot of chicken and for a very small price. So it's the business model is really different. So yes, it is the same company, but how it's working is not the same where you go.
I understand that. And I think for the cheaper end of the fast food deal and choices, I can think of plenty of like soup noodle options or fried rice options and those kind of things. And I think for McDonald's to expand in a market that is foreign to chicken nuggets, hamburgers and Coca-Cola, French fries, those kind of things. You know, if we do a comparison with the U.S., that is homegrown to all of that kind of junk food, but
hey.
It tastes so nice.
Hey.
Although I say it's junk food, but I understand that
it
tastes really nice for after you've had a long day kind of thing. So, yeah, I think when we look at how McDonald's has to eaten up more and more market share in China, is quite an interesting pattern. As first, you need to establish what you are to this new consumer group, the Chinese people. And then it took some educating, I suppose, to some extent in the business terms of getting these new customers, so Chinese people who are not used to eating hamburgers, into liking hamburgers. And now when we talk about hamburgers, the first thing I think about is the Big Mac and how good it
nom,
tastes.
Nom, nom,
okay.
Nom.
Yeah. And then after a period of time of establishing what this company is about and its sort of star items on the menu, now we talk about localization. But that is a tricky measure for a company to take, because how many indigenous elements do you want to include into your menu and still retain your identity? And I think for a lot of global conglomerates, when they're expanding to different markets, that is going to be one of the top questions that they're trying to find an adequate answer to. So what do you see McDonald's doing or it could do in terms of localization as this new company deal has been made right now?
Well, apparently they can be innovative about their menu. They can start to sell noodles or start to sell fried dough thing, youtiao, like what KFC is doing. But personally, I don't like that idea. I went to McDonald's for the foreign food, the foreign junk food, fast food thing. That's why I'm going. I'm there for that. And I don't like the localization. But I have to say, they're doing this must be because they had done a lot of market research and found out that there are people who like this change. There are people who wanted a little bit fried chicken, but also on their rice instead of in a hamburger. And that is why they're doing it. And through some carefully conducted research, they do this change. I'm pretty sure they know better than I do, because I didn't do any market research. But I still think there should be a balance point to this change. Maybe one day you will lose all your characters and you will never be McDonald's again, at least in my heart.
I want to point out that they are targeting growth potential in third and fourth tier cities. Now, these are maybe you would even consider more rural. China's becoming more health conscious. So I think are many places in the world. And so that is something that fast food and McDonald's is directly competing against. Yet we often find the more affluent people are in the megacities. So they're saying, all right, people in Beijing, they know they're smart about their health. They know that we're not offering them very good food. Let's go target the people that might not know, that might not have this health conscious knowledge, and those being in the third and fourth tier cities. And so I also see that maybe as being something that could be happening, because I think people that live in Beijing and Shanghai, they're now saying, we don't want McDonald's. We know it's unhealthy, but maybe this information hasn't gotten out to the third and fourth tier cities.
Yeah, one more thing I wanted to say is that because McDonald's has been in China for kind of a long time, it has started to have its own cultural background thing. That is, people working in McDonald's are nice, even though you only order a Coke, you can sitting there and listen to some music, maybe
jam out.
Yeah, a little bit. Or you can play with your friends. And back in those good old days, high school students also choose McDonald's as a dating destination.
Ooh,
yes.
Let's meet up at the Mickey D's,
yes,
baby.
Let's do homework together.
Yeah, it's
we'll
very
share an ice cream, a McFlurry.
And sweet. And that kind of culture background still roots in McDonald's. And I believe if they go to the third, fourth tier city, it might still be a popular thing to do. And that is why they're targeting there. And I think it's a really smart move.
Yes, I think finding your right target audience or the target consumer is such an important part of doing any business. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree with you guys that, Yuholian, that is such a good point you made, that even with McDonald's, that now there is a Chinese way of looking at the cultural attachment that it has. And yes, for the top tier cities, people living there, there are more choices, there are more options, and McDonald's no longer is a coveted meal that once people used to think it has. I remember when I was a little girl, so that was the 1990s in Beijing, I was so happy when my mom agreed to hold a birthday party for me in McDonald's.
Same year.
And
same
I was
year.
The most popular girl in class for maybe a week or maybe that month if I'm stretching it a little bit. Yes, and we used to have that. I wonder if kids today in first-tier cities still feel that. But for sure, that image and that idea can still be sold to those maybe living in third, fourth-tier cities. And wow, it just feels like this company is expanding and branching out into a lot more corners in China. I guess that's really what company expansion is about. Yeah.
You know, but I would advise, you know, the people here in China that, McDonald's has a lot of skeletons in its closet. They got in trouble for putting, I think it was called slime in their burgers as maybe part of it was beef. And then the other part was this synthetic kind of meat called slime. Watch the documentary Super Size Me, where this guy eats McDonald's, only McDonald's, for 30 days. You'll realize this is not food that is sustainable for you to live on. So with that said, I'm not going to just totally smash McDonald's. I think once in a while, I love to have an Egg McMuffin or five Egg McMuffins, you know?
That was a jump.
Yeah. And, you know, in closing here, I hope another fast food chain that might make its way over here to Beijing would be Taco Bell, because that's my favorite.
Aww. Is it a little bit healthier?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. Well, fast food.
But you don't eat fast food for healthy reasons.
Yes, you eat fast food when you're really that busy or hungry or you're having a really bad day.
Yes.
Yes. I don't really want to do more promotion for something that is not really healthy. Not that healthy, but sometimes is a thing that I resort to after a very long day. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Yuholin.